Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Conversations about farm to table inevitably get around to criticisms that these are kind of elitist areas and perspectives are from an elitist perspective because there's the perception that only the well-off can indulge in farmers markets and local foods at high-end restaurants. Well, not everybody accepts that vision. In fact, we have a visionary with us today, Gus Schumacher. And Gus is one of the real leaders in American agriculture. He's been involved in leadership at the USDA. He was the Commissioner of Agriculture in Massachusetts. He's got a background in working for agriculture really globally. And he's always pretty close to some exciting new areas. Gus, I'm really pleased you can be with us on Farm to Table Talk this morning.
Roger, good to hear from you, and of course you yourself are an active both internationally and domestically, so looking forward to talking with you this morning.
Well, Gus, isn't it interesting? I mean, I think there was a time where we looked at the frontier as primarily international, and now we find ourselves looking more and more at local levels and that local opportunities exist, and you've helped form an organization called Wholesome Wave. Just, I'm not going to give it all away because I'm going to invite you to explain a little bit what it's all about. But I think in a nutshell, it's that the access to local foods and fruits and vegetables shouldn't be something just for the wealthy. It should be something that should be available to everyone. It should be good then for the consumers, for the people locally, and should be good for farmers as well. Could you expand on that a little bit of what it's about and what you had in mind when you helped set up Wholesome Wave?
About 10 years ago, a friend of mine, a chef named Michelle Nishan, who was also interested in this area, we were chatting over the years and looked at the farm bill from the export promotion, from the different programs to develop a safety net. But when you look at the farm bill, 80% of the farm bill is for nutrition. And when you look at the nutrition, it was a pretty chunky amount to help on the food stamps, which is now called SNAP, the WIC program. And when I was undersecretary, I looked at the Commodity Credit Corporation. And you could also see that we could also help with vegetables by providing a senior farmers market nutrition program, which is now over nearly $300 million later, benefiting about 20,000 farmers and about 900,000 seniors, where seniors get vouchers to go only to a farmer's market to exchange for healthy fruits and vegetables, and that's worked well. So we looked at those programs and said, why couldn't we do something with food stamps? So that under the food stamp program, you can buy anything at a supermarket or a farmer's market. They love supermarkets, but farmers only get maybe 25 to 10% or 20% of the share. Why not give them 100% by giving them access to the nutrition programs? But we felt that the best way to do that was provide an incentive. So what if I, Gus Schumacher, was on food stamps? I took my food stamp card to a local farmer's market, for example, in Davis or Sacramento, and swiped it and for $10 and then got $20 if I bought fruits and vegetables. We started that in 2008, and eventually that became a $100 million program in the farm bill. So farmers will be getting an extra $100 million over the next few years to provide healthy, fresh, local food to people like
that. Let me slow you down there for a second. So somebody that is on food stamps, or what we refer to now as SNAP programs, has a card. And so they go to the local farmer's market. And again, if they're going to buy $10 worth, they actually get to buy $20 with it. So that $10, is that farmer's market getting reimbursed that additional $10 from USDA or from some other program?
Yes, the Chairman Stabenow and Chairman of the House, Congressman Lucas, who was then chair of the House, put in $100 million in the 2014 Farm Bill to provide money to farmers markets so they could double those programs. That has to be matched, so it's a truth. So lots of healthcare foundations, local communities, real estate, and there's a lot of groups of matching that. But basically, there'll be $200 million that will go to support people on food stamps to purchase healthy local food at farmers markets. Now, all that money will go to local farmers.
So I think there's like over 8,000 farmers markets in the United States now. So that's hard. Most communities have farmers markets of some sort. Do you have an idea of what percentage of them might have this program available to them?
Well, USDA Secretary Vilsack has said something around 6,000 direct marketing farmers. That would, of course, include roadside stands, but probably certainly 3,000, perhaps as much as half of the farmers markets have an EBT machine of some type so that they can be using this program. At Wholesome Wave, we received a competitive grant, and we received about $3.7 million to work with about 600 farmers markets through our National Nutrition Incentive Network over the next couple of years. And we see some pretty terrific progress.
Well, that's exciting. So as you were pointing out, I think to start this, it's not only the people that are their dollar goes further at the farmers market, which frankly has been one of the criticisms of farmers markets, that some people say, well, certain times the fruit or vegetables are more expensive than if they were going to their local wholesaler or supermarket. And sometimes with some products, it seems like it's a big difference, but this is quite a leveler if you've got this sort of incentive that makes it so much more affordable. Well, and then also, Gus, this has got to help these farmers. If there's that much more that can be spent and the dollars that you're talking about, this has got to be helping local farmers expand because the farmers market demand is going to be up.
Yes, we've seen in D.C. Farmers adding some greenhouses to expand on the shoulder season, some of them now going year-round because of these programs. One farmer, Matt Harsh, in Maryland, said that he is adding acreage. Some new Latino farmers who now are going from farm workers to farming in Virginia are buying farms and not leasing them and expanding to supply these markets because of these programs.
Well, and I've gone to some farmers markets in the upper Midwest, which you just assumed are going to shut down in the wintertime, but they're not. They've moved into senior centers and other areas that they're still able to put food available. Some of it's grown still locally in hoops and other ways to kind of battle the elements. I would assume that's going to keep spreading, that there will be more and more of them that are going to be available and have products available year-round.
It seems to my surprise, I've been following this for some years, that's the fastest growing part of the farmers market movement is year-round farmers markets. And I think driven in part by the new high tunnel programs that USDA has come up with, about 15 to 16,000 farmers now have gotten some support from the USDA to build these high tunnels. And then there's research going on in terms of how to grow within those high tunnels. It is fascinating to see how many winter farmers markets in places I never thought would have them, like Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts now has like nearly 80 winter farmers markets, and farmers are growing greens year-round, so who knew?
You know, Gus, you've mentioned before that there are some new areas on the horizon, that there are health initiatives that are jumping into this somehow to provide additional incentives as well. Could you explain what that picture looks like and some of the things you see kind of on the frontier of this area?
One of the areas that, the two areas that I've seen, again, surprising as the demand for fresh, healthy, local, and affordable fruit and vegetables really rockets up. One is the interest of the healthcare system. One third of Americans now are a little on the chubby side, and quite a few really need is, or have diabetes, especially our seniors. And hospitals are stepping up to provide vouchers to those patients to go to local farmers markets. And we work in a wholesome way. We call it a veggie prescription program. That is expanding very rapidly in the healthcare system in different parts of the country. Washington State, with the Department of Public Health and Safeway and the City Council. In D.C., the City Council has now appropriated $1.2 million for connecting Medicaid patients to vouchers. And I'm particularly the Steward healthcare system in Massachusetts. There's something called Steward Box at 7 hospitals where they prescribe. And over in Cape Cod, the doctors basically come up with their own veggie prescription program because they see healthcare and diet is a very important issue. But one of the people I'm particularly impressed with, the Veterans Administration, nutritionists. I did, I noticed a lot of Vietnam and Korean veterans and more recent veterans are getting vouchers at different VA hospitals in Northport, Long Island, in Connecticut, in West Virginia, and in D.C., where the farmers markets have raised money and give vouchers, or veterans prescription vouchers, to VA nutritionists. They then take their vouchers to the local markets, get as much as $20 or $30 a week. Particularly impressed with New York State, where their commissioners actually created a veterans farmers market nutrition program. And that now is very popular in the VA clinic hospitals in New York State, especially at the Northport VA hospital that I visited recently. So again, hospitals, whether they're regular hospitals like in New York or Washington or Boston, or the VA hospitals, are reaching deep and saying, we need to provide a healthier access to all through these new veggie prescription programs. We're proud of the people who put that together.
Are these being rolled out across the country as a federal program, or are these just somewhat almost spontaneously popping up around the country of these hospitals and other organizations looking for creative solutions and hearing about going on in another state? I don't know if I'm asking that question very well, but it what feels different to me is that these are just are happening at different places across the country, and it's not, it doesn't seem to be like the classic kind of federal program that rolled out.
No, it's these are being created. Michelle Nishan and I kind of started a few of these in New York City with some of the hospitals 3 or 4 years ago. In fact, Mayor Menino, who unfortunately passed away in Boston, started one of the first ones with us in the Codman Square Health Clinic back in August of 2010. That's what, 6 years ago. And people are starting to pick up on this at the local hospital because it's being driven by the doctors. They see patients coming in who are diabetic, and the regular drugs work okay, like metformin and other drugs. But they're saying they really needed a little kick into the changing behavior and diet. And so in D.C., they're doing a terrific job with the 5 clinics with a veggie prescription. New York is expanding. Hospitals in Boston, VA hospitals. And then the one that I find particularly interesting is Washington State, where the rigid ego at the Washington State Department of Health has worked with Safeway and the City Council in Seattle to create almost a statewide veggie prescription program. So hopefully, as we look at our Medicaid population and Medicare population, that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and USDA in the future will look at how farmers become pharmacies and help to diminish this rampaging diabetes we have in this country, both for veterans, Medicaid, Medicare, and children.
Well, that's exciting. And you also mentioned a for-profit company that's a partner, because I think one of the things that most people would suspect is large supermarket chains and even some of the restaurant chains might feel that these programs are competitive, that they are somehow taking business away from them. But you apparently have examples where that's exactly the opposite case, where large companies, corporations, food companies, processors, and so forth are trying to help. That's not what people would normally suspect to happen.
Well, I think I'm very proud of them. We're working closely with the Kroger supermarket, which is the largest in the country, second largest in the country, that is doing a great job. As we mentioned, Safeway in Washington State, Price Chopper in Kansas City are all looking at bringing more customers in to their fruit and vegetable operations. Wegmans has really changed over its stores to feature healthy, fresh fruit and vegetables, and they're considered one of the most profitable ones. So that's all worked pretty well.
Well, that kind of leads to another little question I thought about. There's so much emphasis on fresh. Part of the problem with fresh is it's got a season, and even though Hoops and other ways are extending the season, I mean, there's a peak period for many products that are, this is the best time, you know, that there's like tomatoes in the summer and so forth. Are you starting to see that even at the farmers markets, there's more that are looking at almost, you know, canning or preserving or having their extending the season, whether it's frozen or dried or canned or jarred, rather than simply fresh as we've thought of it in the past?
Yes, of course, there's a lot of interest in USDA in providing storage. I didn't realize they've changed their regulations. In the past, we run some of these programs for creating on-farm storage when there's a surplus of corn or wheat. Help farmers borrow some money to create new storage facilities. That now, USDA has said, we're going to do that also for fruit and vegetables, smaller farms, for creating innovative cold storage to extend the season for a number of crops. And then there's a lot of work on food hubs, again, all new. Again, not when I was there, not when you and I worked together, where they're aggregating, and then some of these are now, as you said, creating a processing, like in Fresh Farm Rhode Island. They have a year-round food hub, but they also take surpluses in the summer and fall and put them into special farmers markets, frozen and value-added products, and then distribute those during the winter. And I noticed big companies like Campbell Soup just recently rolled out its farmers market pasta sauce. Who knew? That's, again, an example. Then there's a supermarket called the farmer's market. So a lot of interest in looking as the consumer demand evolves to eat healthier and eat kind of when they can find it, foods produced a little bit closer rather than importing from New Zealand or Argentina. It'd be adding value and looking at new technologies, whether it's high tunnels or a lot of these new urban greenhouses with LED lights for lettuce. It's not going to replace the Watsonville Salinas Valley, but you know, the young people, it's kind of the new Uber. People looking at new technologies to produce healthy food, places we never thought going.
Well, you know, Gus, I have to ask you, of all these exciting things that are going on, when you're looking down the road in 4 or 5 years, I mean, what excites you the most? I mean, what gives you the most hope that you're optimistic about that where we're headed right now? What's it look like in a few years if you continue on this trajectory and you're going to say, I'm really proud that we played a part in getting us to this point? Where is that point?
I think it's the healthcare system. I've been visiting with a number of doctors, nurses around the country. You know, a doctor here on in Cape Cod, Dr. Kumara Siddiqui, basically said, we need to do more to provide a different system of diet because my patients aren't doing well with their diabetes. Can we provide a healthier diet, and can the farmers participate in that? As I said earlier, the farmer is a pharmacy. Then I look at what's happening in District of Columbia, where the city council has come up with $1.2 million, as I said, to so that Medicaid families and get $10 a week to buy fruits and vegetables from local farmers to improve their diet. And the lines are 250 long. So that when it's affordable, it's local, people do want to improve their health regardless of income. Seen that here in New England, we've certainly seen it in D.C., and you've seen it, like the Department of Public Health in Washington State, and then in California. About 200 groups, all in the industry, got together and encouraged Governor Brown to sign the $5 million extra money for doubling food stamps at more of the farmers markets. So then you can see that evolving very rapidly. And then finally, I was in Puerto Rico a few weeks ago, and their leadership, even though they're having difficulties, said we're going to put $20 million additional on everybody's food stamp card in Puerto Rico to go to buy fruit and vegetables at local farmers markets. So they put 4% on everybody's card extra, not diminishing the existing, extra, but it can be only swiped at an EBT machine with a farmer in any of the 52 farmers markets in Puerto Rico. And those farmers told me quietly that they love the program. They're going to put it up to $60 million by 2020, and it's really having an effect on farmers' income and hopefully on their health. These are some of the, I think it's the health system, then how public policy nationally, whether it's Medicaid or change or adding incentives to the food stamp program, 2020 could really begin to have a difference. All that money going to American farmers.
Well, you know, Gus, every time I've ever talked to you, you've given me something to think about and look ahead, and I'm sure people listening to this podcast are going to say the same thing. Any spot you would point them towards online for more information if some of the things we've touched on so far and they want to dig a little deeper, where should they look?
Well, they could go to our webpage where we have a pretty deep programs and resources called www.wholesomewave.org. That's www.wholesomewave.org. And also the Farmers Market Coalition, that's www.farmersmarketcoalition.org. And both programs have a pretty deep dive on resources for doubling food stamps, veggie prescriptions, and food hubs.
Well, I'll tell you, Gus Schumacher, I really appreciate your taking the time to be on Farm to Table Talk, and I think we, many of us, are grateful for the leadership you're continuing to provide food and agriculture in the United States. So thanks for being with us for this conversation.
Well, thank you, Roger.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.